The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born?"
Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Questions we ask in the dark. This familiar text from the Gospel of John starts with this odd sort of question dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. Contains within it, of course, as Julie mentioned, the beloved John 3:16. And with that, some of the best loved words of Christian hope and comfort ever to be offered. Truly, the gospel lesson for today would be complete if we only read John 3:16. Or 3:16 and 17. But the gospel lesson gives us a running start at those words, the context, and the reason they were spoken, so that the good news might be even better to our ears. These words, which are such a central part of the Christian message, you need to understand, were first spoken not to one of the disciples who left everything to follow Jesus. These words of pure gospel were not spoken to one of the people that Jesus had just healed. These words were not spoken to someone who had just received their sight, or just been able to walk after not being able to walk. These words weren't spoken to someone who was already grateful and following Jesus. These words were spoken to Nicodemus the Pharisee, who came to Jesus in the dark. I want you to picture this, because we've been studying the Bible together, and by now we should all have sort of an understanding of the Pharisees. And certainly, as you've been reading through the Gospels, you realize that the Pharisees are the ones that are always challenging Jesus, always telling Jesus he's not doing things according to the law just right. His disciples aren't washing his hands right. He's healing on the Sabbath. He's getting it wrong. He's blaspheming God. And the Pharisees are the ones who are setting Jesus up to be crucified. And so Nicodemus, has some independent thoughts. Nicodemus is a thinking Pharisee. And it's probably not safe for Nicodemus to approach Jesus in broad daylight and say, "Rabbi, good teacher, teach me." But he does it at night. He comes to Jesus under the cover of the darkness of night, because he knows his peer group would not appreciate him approaching Jesus in the daylight. And so this is where Jesus' response to him comes from. Nicodemus, struggling with how he can be born from above. Should I climb into my mother's womb again? I don't get this. And Jesus talks about being born of water and the Spirit. And then Jesus talks about how God loved the whole world. And that would have kicked off the Pharisees to no end. No, that's blasphemy, they would have said. God didn't come for the whole world. He came for Israel. That's what the Pharisees would have said. But Jesus says to Nicodemus, no, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, because he didn't want any to perish. He wanted to save the whole world. That's everybody. Imagine how Nicodemus had to process that. Struggling with his tradition, struggling what he knew from his scripture to be traditional interpretation of God's word. And then encountering Jesus live and in person, the Son of God, answering the questions. First person from God himself. God's self. Now, we don't hear about Nicodemus anymore. And we don't know what his answer was that night. But we do know that he shows up after the crucifixion to bring spices to help with the burial. We know something touched Nicodemus' heart. And so the question for us today is, if you could approach Jesus and ask him something, if you could go to him in the dark and know that you had no peer pressure whatsoever, no one was going to judge your question, that it was just you and Jesus, what would you talk to Jesus about? What would you want an answer about? I think for many of us, those questions might revolve around suffering. You know? Jesus, why do good people suffer? Why do my loved ones suffer? Why do children experience violence or get diseases? Why are there broken relationships in my family or my community or my church? Why do some people overcome addictions and some people not? Why does anyone have to go hungry? What are the questions that you would ask Jesus in the dark? What do you want him to bring light to? The good news is he's ready. There's no question too hard, no question too inappropriate, no question that Jesus is going to make fun of. Just question. And Jesus will meet you in the dark and bring you to the light. You see, I think a lot of times people use John 3:16 as a way to conquer. Say, I'm triumphant. And we are through the cross of Jesus Christ. Through his works, through his salvation, saved. And not through our own. Let me tell you a little story about a meeting in the dark, about brokenness. One December afternoon, so tells a story by William Newell. Many years ago, a group of parents stood in the lobby of a nursery school waiting to claim their children after the last pre-Christmas class session. And as these little preschoolers ran from their lockers, each one carried in his or her hands the surprise for their parents, the brightly wrapped packages on which each had been working diligently for weeks. One small boy, trying to run, put on his coat and wave all at the same time and slipped and fell. And the surprise flew out of his grasp and landed on the tile floor and broke with an obvious ceramic crash. The child's first reaction was stunned silence. But as you might know of 3 or 4 year olds, in a moment, he set up an inconsolable wail. And his father, thinking to comfort him, knelt down and murmured, Now it doesn't matter, son. It really doesn't matter. But the mother, much wiser in such affairs, swept the boy into her arms and said, Oh, but it does matter. It matters a great deal. And the mother wept with her son. We are free to approach Jesus in our brokenness. And Jesus embraces us and says, your brokenness matters to me, and I am the one who can make you whole. I am the one who can bring you wellness. I am the one who can bring light into darkness. And Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the one. And so we need to be careful as Christians not to be like the Pharisees, who think we have all the answers? Because we are both at the same time saint and sinner every waking moment of our lives. You know, Jesus says you must be born from above. And in the Lutheran and the Catholic and many other denominations, we baptize infants on up, doing so because we believe God does the work in baptism. We believe, as the jailer did in the book of Acts, that when we discover the goodness of God's grace and mercy, we want to have our whole families immersed in the waters of baptism, filled with the light of Christ, surrounded by the support of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're at. Now, we respect our brothers and sisters who say, no, you really ought to wait until you're older to be baptized. Okay, other denominations do that. That's okay. That's their belief. The thing is, we all belong to Jesus. And when we say one is right and one is wrong, then we're dividing the body of Christ. I had someone today, this week, mention to me that they were tired of people coming to their door and telling them they're going to hell. And I think most of us have been there. Know your own faith background. Know to be able to proclaim, I belong to Jesus. Even if I can't give you a grown-up conversion date, I know I belong to Jesus because I am baptized. And you may have been baptized as an infant, or you may have been baptized a little older. But it is the Word of God and the promise of God, together with the water and the faith of the community, that makes us part of that community. We don't do it ourselves. And so every single day of our lives, we are saint and sinner at the same time. Saved only by the grace of God. Born from above and grateful for that. Living in the light, even though sometimes we want to put up an umbrella, put on sunglasses, and stick our heads under the pillow, the light is still shining. The light is still shining. The light is Jesus Christ, who came because God so loved the world. Not just the Pharisees. Not just the self-righteous, not just the ones who get it right all the time, but all of us, saints and sinners, saved by the grace of Jesus. Amen.